Hello and welcome back to On the Line. I'm Carl Richter. Thanks so much for your patience as I recovered from a long bout of laryngitis. I'm especially grateful to those of you who offered your thoughts, prayers, and advice. I certainly will never take my voice for granted again. Now we're back with new interviews with Texarkana's most interesting people. We took advantage of the break to make a few improvements. So we're going to haul off and call it season two. First, we've decided to move from weekly episodes to one every 2 weeks. That will help ensure quality, and it will give me a little breathing room to experiment with formats other than the interview, such as audio storytelling. That doesn't mean you won't have a Texarkana Gazette podcast every week. Soon, we'll announce Star Bear Studios' new podcast title, and I think you'll be as excited about it as we are. We've also boosted our online presence. On the Line is now on Twitter. Follow at OTLTXK, that's at OTLTXK, for all the latest about the show. While you're at it, visit texarkanagazette.com/newsletters and sign up for On the Line. You'll get Gazette podcast news delivered straight to your email box. Last but not least, we'll soon be offering Star Bear Studio and On the Line merchandise. You will be able to support the show with some very cool items such as t-shirts and coffee mugs. So stay tuned for more information. Now on to this episode's interview. Texarkana native Kat Dahman is a creative force of nature with more than 60 novels to her name. She works mostly in the horror genre, and that passion has led her to a new endeavor, movies. In the tradition of do-it-yourself filmmakers such as Roger Corman and our own Charles B. Pierce, Kat is busy writing, producing, and directing horror movies that have much bigger stories than budgets. The latest is a modern, fictional take on Texarkana's phantom killer called Sundown. We talked about the movie, her path to becoming a director, and her other endeavors, including advocating for prison reform. Here's my conversation with Kat Dahman. Hi, Kat.
Hi.
Happy Friday the 13th.
Oh, it's a great day.
Yeah. So you wear a lot of hats. Why don't you just start by telling us all the different things you're up to and into?
Oh my goodness. Okay. I'm a political activist for the state of Arkansas, working on prison reform. Mm. And there's a book that is in the process of happening with that. I've got about 60 novels out there that I've written.
Wow.
And I still write. And starting about a year ago, I started writing scripts and now ended up as a film director.
Oh, wow. So you're actually producing a new movie about the Phantom Killer, is that right?
Yes. Yes. We filmed most of it, but I wasn't happy with it, so we're doing some additional work on it.
And so you've been filming around town already?
Yes. We kind of have to sneak sometimes.
I was going to ask you about that. I didn't want you to get in trouble, but.
Yeah. Well, you know, the actors and actresses will get very nervous. Mm-hmm. And so we have to do a closed set. Well, people think that doesn't mean them. And so people, you know, want to sit and watch or whatever, but then they talk. And
yeah.
So we have to sneak around places and we don't tell them, you know, when we're filming at the park.
Yeah. So a lot of your books are horror novels. Is that right?
Yeah.
What is it about horror? Have you always been a fan? What draws you to the scary stuff?
My mom was a member of the Book of the Month Club, mm-hmm. and she would just, you know, get whatever was popular. And by the time I was about in fourth grade, I started reading all of her books. And by the time I got to The Exorcist, you know, it was like, what are we going to do now? But they didn't censor anything I read, and they didn't censor anything on television or movies. And so that made me, you know, just, you know, able to fly free and enjoy literature, any kind. Mm-hmm. But the horror, there's so many genres in it. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's just so much fun. That's what it's down to. It's just fun.
Yeah. When did you start writing?
Well, I pretended, you know, when I was in junior high and high school and in college. And then, you know, things happened, a career. And then 11 years ago, I decided, you know, I've got this huge, huge book. I thought, well, I'm going to send, you know, part of it and just see what happens. And so I sent it to a big press in Australia, and they answered immediately and asked if they could have a 10-day option. Mm-hmm. And I thought, this doesn't happen. Right. I mean, it does not happen.
So just to explain, people might know, that means they bought the rights to the book for...
Well, for 10 days, I couldn't talk to anybody else about the book. I couldn't let them see it.
Yeah.
And I think it was on day 9. Of course, I was just going crazy, you know, thinking, you know, it's not going to happen. And they went for the whole, it was separated into 9 books. They took them all, and then they contracted me for another 7 or 8. Hmm. I don't know anybody that's ever happened to.
Wow. What was it about?
Zombies. Wow. I mean, see, part of it's, you know, being commercial, and that's sure. when, you know, The Walking Dead was, you know, huge, and everybody loved the zombies, and it was just riding the wave of that. And then they wanted books about dinosaurs, and I thought, oh, I can do that, you know. You know, anything commercial, you know, to get my foot in the door and just, you know, just to get out there. But it was a lot. Very fast.
Yeah. So what's next in that commercial pipeline? What's the next horror trend?
You mean what's coming up?
Well, yeah. I mean, is there a new monster of the week or?
Bigfoot is getting big again. Mm. And anything Amityville. I mean, you could have a friend, producer, and he's getting ready to do Amityville Hayride. Anytime you put Amityville before a movie title, right. it's going to do great.
Yeah.
So anything Amityville right now.
Yeah, I'm old enough to remember that when that first hit big, and it scared the crap out of me. That image of the eyes in the window.
The flies got me. Yeah. Those are the biggies. But because the first film I did was Pinup Zombies, where the pinup girls turned into zombies and got revenge. And it was a horror comedy, which I don't even like.
Right.
But I couldn't resist it. It just had the perfect people for it.
Yeah. Well, that sounds like a blast. Is that the only movie you've made so far?
Yeah, Pinup Zombies is in edits, and then Sundown is finished except for, that's the phantom story, and it's finished except for about 15 minutes, and we're just going to do some really cool kill scenes, and we just need to ramp up the scariness.
Right. So pull back the curtain a little bit on independent filmmaking. how does it work?
I don't know if I'm one to ask. It just seems like I kind of just land in the middle of these things. But, I write the scripts. Mm-hmm. And then, I'm going to direct things that I haven't written. But right now I'm just, you know, getting used to everything. It's hard to go from writer to script writer and to director for me. Mm-hmm. But, and we do Indiegogo, and raise our money that way. Because, uh-huh. And we do everything on a shoestring budget.
Yeah.
And we barter. You okay. know, it's like, you know, like the Hampton Inn on the Arkansas side, our home away from home.
Right.
But they let us have the conference room as a staging area.
Okay.
And in turn, we bring in a lot of people in the rooms. So,
right.
Yeah. So, you know, we're doing their business. And we do the same thing at Sling Blades. Kevin Hancock is wonderful. And same thing with Ronnie Dancer out at Dancing Ranch Farm.
Right.
So, yeah, I got my my people in there.
Yeah. So do you have a production company? Mm-hmm.
Ren Says Films.
Okay.
Which is kind of funny sounding, but.
And you run a publishing company too, right?
Yes, it's kind of on the back burner right now. I just have a few clients.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had to let most of it go because I was doing that. And I'm vice president of a horror organization.
Mm.
And, you know, then I'm trying to get the book, you know, the crime in Arkansas and reform, trying to get that done. And so I don't have any time. I want to do movies.
You're super busy.
Yeah.
So the Phantom Killer story has been told and retold. What's your take on it? What's new about your movie?
It's not a retelling of the movies whatsoever. Okay. It's modern day. And it's, you know, the premise is that the Phantom has been coming back every so okay. often, and the townspeople get really crazy and they all get mean and, you know, just fight with each other and hurt each other. And that's during this Phantom time.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. And if he hasn't, you know, finished the cycle, then he's going to come right back.
Okay.
If you wait till the cycle ends, it could be your loved ones. And
oh, wow.
The sheriff in the story has to make some tough decisions.
Wow, that sounds great.
Yeah, that would be Justin P. Warren. He's very good.
I'm sure you're aware of the work of Charles B. Pierce.
Yes.
He did the first The Town That Dreaded Sundown and Legend of Boggy Creek. Is he an inspiration to you?
We were, I took my little brother to see that, and we were sitting on the back row. And my brother and I thought we were great movie critics. I was probably 16, 17 years old, and mm-hmm. you know, he's 6 years younger. And so we were critiquing the movie the whole way through. And this gentleman said, "Could I see y'all out in the lobby, please?" And I thought, oh, you know, we've done something wrong. We were talking. You know, he's going to call my mom. No, he right. wouldn't know the number, you know. You know, we just walked out there. I was like, oh, no, oh, no. He introduced himself as Charles Pierce.
Oh, really?
Yes, and he was standing there. He heard everything, and he said, "Can you elaborate more on the things that you felt were not done correctly?" And, of course, having no better sense, I elaborated.
Well,
but he was wonderful. I mean,
yeah, I mean, yeah. That's a mark of a real artist, willing to take some criticism.
Yeah, I mean, that's very admirable. I mean, a lot of people would have been furious, but he was great.
Did you ever have any more contact with him?
No. Back then, you know, other kids and teachers and whatever, you know, you're never going to be a writer, you know, it's impossible. It never happens to anybody, you know. Mm. So, you know, I just, you know, I tried journalism. Mm-hmm. And I had some bad experiences, but I had some good. I met Jean Dixon.
Oh, wow.
That was neat.
The psychic,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. She was telling us that Ted Kennedy would never run for president. And she was. I was like, well, I could have predicted that. But,
right.
And I enjoyed journalism, but I was a little too shy back then.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I just wanted to go get her. Now I could do it, but...
Do you have a connection to Texarkana?
I was born and raised here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. My parents taught at the college.
Okay.
And so this is home. We left for a while, lived several different states, and then we lived in Dallas, and I started meeting all these film people.
Mm-hmm.
And then we moved back here. I said, you know, why are we going to Dallas for all that? We have such a rich community here.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful, you know, places and you know, welcoming people. And so I said, you know, let's take it all to Texarkana. And my affiliates, Ange Marie Productions and Bad Shark Entertainment, Xanthic FX, all have come with me.
Hmm.
So they still travel from Dallas, but
yeah.
And we have actors from Florida, LA, a lot from Dallas. So,
you know, so this could be the beginning of a whole film industry here in town.
That's what I'm trying to do. Yeah, we have the pinup. We did Sundown, and we're going to film at the end of July. It's going to be zombies or vampires. We can't decide for sure, but we're going to film at the Parks and Rec Center. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. That was the whole thing. Like, oh, can we just do both? but we're fixing to film on June 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th, and that's a big one.
Okay.
Yeah, it's called Clan.
Okay. Are you looking for extras, actors?
I get about 20 requests a day.
Oh, right? Really?
Yes.
Everybody wants their moment, huh?
But unfortunately, it's more of like, hi, here's my phone number. Call me. I need to get a script. I'm like, what? Who is this?
Right.
How do you know this person? You know, but usually by the time we announce a movie, 95% has already been cast because I go with the professionals, bring them in.
Mm-hmm.
But we do pick up locals. We had a signing over at Sling Blades, and we did a thing out in the parking lot, a scene, and it was that they, you know, the cars drove up and they were going to do this news conference. Mm-hmm. And it was very dramatic.
Yeah.
And Ronnie Dancer was there saying that he was going to, you know, we elected him Miller County judge. He was going to get the Phantom. And then we had the, yeah, it was hilarious.
I'll have to check into how that fits into campaigning law.
It was hilarious. Yeah. Everybody, but the people, because we just had people, if they wanted to come be in it, you know, do it. And they were like, that's the way to go. All right. And I was like, whoa. And we had somebody then, a state trooper that wanted to take jurisdiction. Then we had a federal agent who decided he was. But I had not cast the federal agent.
Mm.
And I thought, well, I'm just going to cut that part. And I was looking at the people, you know, we're getting ready to film. And I saw this guy and I went, he could be a federal agent. He just has the look.
Right.
And I said, come with me. And his eyes got great big. And his wife was like, and people were going, what's happening? And so I took him in there and I said, you want to do a part? I said, you have the look. All you have to do is have the talk. And he said, sure. And he did fantastic. That was Jonathan Crabtree.
Okay. Well, when he wins an Oscar, we're going to remember this.
Well, you know, that one little thing. I cast him in a really good role for that upcoming movie, Clan.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a guy, Red, who bought a perk. That's the way we make money.
Mm-hmm.
And he got to hang with the cast. Well, we got to know him, and he's very talented. And so he has been cast in the next movie.
Yeah.
But that's just, you know, might be somebody I pick out or, you know, the perks. But I'm having a lot of problems getting all those perks sold, you know, because I'm new and sticks or can I, you know, it takes a while for them to warm up, but I'm trying. I wish people would go get those perks.
So. Right. Are you doing the editing too?
No. I work with three different cinematographers, so I could do three films at once, but they each do all the editing. I have no knowledge of how to do it or anything. They are wonderful and I'm not going to touch that.
So what's your distribution model? How are you going to get these movies out there?
It's funny, the three, and today's the 13th, it must be a three thing. I have three different people that have approached me.
Mm-hmm.
I personally want it to go straight to video to Walmart.
Okay.
I mean, you know, get that out there. Let people, you know, watch it, you know.
On a physical medium, like a DVD.
Yeah, yeah. See, to me, that's fun because it's instant gratification for anybody.
You know,
that's how I want it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my friend who helps direct, he wants to do several contests all over Texas. So, yeah, maybe.
You mean like film festival type things?
Yeah. Yeah, there's some really good ones coming up. So, I don't know. I know we're going to do a premiere and probably one in Oakland Village, which is where I met Charles Pierce.
Right. I've heard about that old movie theater there.
Yeah, it comes around. And then we're going to do some premieres out at Dancing Ranch. But with Klan, we have to have somebody at the gate because it is NC-17.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. The theme, and it's a little rough. So, well, I haven't filmed it yet, but it's going to be.
So are these movies gory? Do you get into some special effects?
Do a lot of special effects. They're all practical. Mm-hmm. You know, the blood squibs, that it's like you put blood in a little Ziploc and you glue it, and then you, and it goes everywhere. And if it's arterial, you know, if somebody's facing, we can do the sprays right in their face.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it, three of us do casting because I can't keep my hands out of that. You know, I like to do the molds and, you know, latex wounds. And, you know, I do the broken bones into my skin hands. That's my big thing about skinning the top of the hand.
Wow.
But, yeah.
So that's a whole separate craft.
Yeah, but it's fun.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
You know, all the, like, the weapons, because with the Klan, they have all these, like, rusted knives. And it's going to be. It's going to be really, it's definitely going to be worthy of the NC-17, just because of the theme.
Sounds like real drive-in movie kind of stuff, tradition.
That's kind of what we think about it as, you know, and we can do that at the ranch because they have, you know, seating and they have an enormous screen.
Mm.
And so you get your popcorn, get your hot dogs, and then you just watch that and probably puke them up. I don't know how people are going to react. It doesn't bother me. Nothing like that bothers me. But,
yeah.
I mean, somebody might get sick. I have no idea.
So when do you think you will be premiering the movie?
I'm hoping for the fall for Pin Up and Sundown. Klan is going to be a little bit more difficult to edit. And might go to the end of the year. It's just a difficult one. And then probably the one we're going to do in July will also. But we're going to be filming in fall too.
Right.
I mean, we're just snapping them out one after another because I don't know why people don't in Hollywood.
Right.
I mean, I can't figure this out yet. I guess they get a lot of...
You're making me think about Roger Corman too.
You know, but that's fun stuff.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
You know, that's... That's what we like to do, and we were out at the airport, and there's that huge radar dome.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we got permission and had an escort, and we went there and filmed in that dome.
Really?
We got to go up to the top. I didn't because I wasn't going to go up that ladder. I was like, no. You know, I've got a bad shoulder. And, but I got pictures of it, and, you know, you can see all the light coming in, and it was just the floorboards, you know, periodically step through the floor. But it was just, everything was rusted and grown up, and it was just magnificent. And
it sounds creepy as heck.
It was. I mean, just eerie. I mean, I don't know, just the atmosphere was very disturbing. Mm-hmm. And one of our guys was in full makeup and, you know, had boil on his head and he had his hair down in his face, and he looked like, I just blanked out his name. The guy that played Otis in Devil's Rejects.
I'm drawing a blank too, but I know who you mean.
Yeah, I've seen him at, you know, conventions and everything. I don't know why I can't think of it.
He died recently, I think.
Oh, no, not him. No, Otis with the long hair.
Oh, okay.
Baby's brother. And that's going to sound like a soap
opera. I was thinking of the other.
Yeah.
Actor.
But, I mean, he looked really good. And when we got there, my crew had forgotten to put my makeup box in the car.
Mm.
And I was like, what are we going to do? And so I had to take a Cinnabon and Dr. Pepper, and I crushed it and mashed it, and that went in the boil. I'm not making this up. They were getting soot out of tailpipes and putting on people so that I could smear it in and get the, because the clan is, you know, they don't bathe a lot. They're kind of dirty, and, you know. And so we were using the soot, actually using the dirt and making mud because we'd forgot it. I had nail polish, so the nail polish end up as the blood. And I showed it to a special effects professional. She does special effects in at Six Flags at Dallas or Fort Worth, wherever it is. And she looked at it. She said, "Oh, man, that is unreal. Y'all did so good. I mean, that is crazy." And I said, "Well, let me tell you how we did it." And she could not believe.
Wow.
With the Cinnabon and...
It just goes to show that whatever shows up on screen is all that matters, right?
Well, yeah, because we're selling the fantasy. So, you know, people are going to look at that and think, it's $1 million makeup.
Right.
But, you know, when... It's not. I mean, but we can achieve those results. And, you know, I think some of the, you know, the movies and everything have inspired that with me to do the practical effects. I don't do any CGI.
Mm-hmm.
If I have a $1 billion, you know, movie, I will never do CGI.
Right.
Because it's not as fun.
Yeah. I think about older movies like The Thing, where all those effects were practical effects.
Yeah.
And it was just mind-blowing.
And you know...
And you can tell. Yeah. As good as CGI gets, you can still tell.
Tell. Yeah. I never want to do that. That
yeah.
You know, I still like the mystique. I mean, I don't know. I've watched some of the film after it's been edited. And the cinematographer just got me entirely, and I was watching this one part, and it's the Phantom's Fantasy.
Mm.
And he's going north, south, east, west, and everybody that he's facing, he either shoots or they just fall down dead from fright, or he takes the axe and hits them, and it looks so real. But the cinematographer, Tony Brooks, made it look like a David Lynch type thing with this lighting, and it was just like just very surreal.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, he got me. And you know, people were like, "You throw David Lynch in there?" Well, yeah, because that was very experimental for me.
Yeah,
but that's fun.
Yeah, it sounds fun. So I wasn't aware of your prison work. Would you like to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I would love to. I have six clients. Okay, you can't see, but my foot just started shaking. I just get so excited about it. I took six cases. All six of the guys are at the Cummings Unit in Arkansas.
Where is that?
In Grady, Arkansas. It's
okay.
Up north. It's where Brubaker was filmed.
Oh, I remember that movie.
Yeah, and it has a real rough reputation. It's a rough place. All of the guys went in to prison when they were under 21, most of them under 18, and one was 14.
Hmm.
And they went into prison. The way they were doing it, or still are, as far as I know, they could either, you know, take a plea deal, or they could, you know, go before a jury, but... in each case, the DA said, "I'm going to watch you fry, boy."
Wow.
Every one of them, and these 14-year-old. And the only choices were life in prison without parole or death penalty.
Mm.
And so they had no other choice. All six are there for capital murder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not going to sugarcoat that.
Yeah.
One of them was playing with a gun. And it went off, and it killed his friend.
Mm.
But that is life without parole for him.
Yeah.
And so my work is in, you know, I still, you know, if you get me somebody that's hurt children and everything, I will pull the switch on them. Doesn't bother me.
Mm.
My problem is that these guys have no chance for parole, and they were too young.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, okay, you know, punish them. I mean, I'm all for, you know, give them 20 years, whatever. Right. But you don't give a 14-year-old life without parole.
Yeah.
And that's, there's a big movement right now. And so far I've been told, good luck. Yeah. You know, it's like, okay.
So what's your goal? Is to get them parole hearings or?
If an offender is under 21, I want them to stay in a juvenile. Mm-hmm. And again, that doesn't mean they're not punished.
Right.
I mean, they need to. I mean, if it's a serious crime, you know, they're serial killers or rapists, you know, whatever's going on. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they can give up life without parole, but keep it in juvenile.
Yeah.
Just so that they can get evaluated.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a very simple thing.
Yeah.
But they've started doing that now. The problem is it's not taking place. It's like, okay, you know, if they're under 18, well, an 18-year-old and a 21-year-old are much different.
Yeah.
So
so you're working on a book?
Mm-hmm. About all six of them.
Wow.
Yeah, and they're... Yeah, people kind of, at first I was really nervous, and, you know, people would say, aren't you scared? And I started thinking about it. I said, you know what, I'm more scared of my neighbor that I don't know.
Yeah.
I said, I've talked to these guys and written, I said, I have thousands of hours with each one,
mm-hmm.
and nothing's ever varied. Yeah. And I would feel safe with every one of them. I mean, one is a really good friend of mine, and, and I was, you know, I didn't talk about it much at first. And then people would say, oh, you know, it's okay, you know, as long as they didn't do something like kill somebody. And I'd say, yeah. And
well, actually.
Yeah. And, you know, now I'm like, yeah, they're all in for capital murder. Yes, they are.
Yeah. That doesn't mean they're not human beings.
No. And you know what? They're different. You know, these guys, you know, they're 45, you know, years old, right around there. And that's not the same as being 14. It's a different person.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they've got clean records now, you know, in prison. They've behaved. I just think that maybe we should take another look at them.
Yeah.
But, I mean, not everybody's going to agree with that. I mean.
Well, stay in touch about that. I'll be interested to read that.
Okay.
We're about out of time. How can people find you online or? Elsewhere.
Gosh. The best way is Ren, R-E-N, says, S-A-Y-S, films, F-I-L-M-S. And there's a Facebook page for that.
Okay.
That really is the best way. I've got an email in it. Well, that's also the name of our website. I don't know what I was thinking.
Yeah.
That's also our website. And we have up to the, you know, day kind of things, if we're going to have auditions,
mm-hmm.
you know, if we're looking for an extra, anything. And we have behind-the-scenes photos.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, they get to see their favorite actor or actress, you know. It's really neat. So the website or the Facebook group, it's just Ren Says Films.
Okay, great. Well, we'll be looking forward to seeing your movies. I'm excited.
I'm excited, too. I want to see them. It's like, you know, I can't see it, you know, as it's being edited, right. Really. So, yeah, I want to see it, too.
All right. Well, thanks for coming by and telling us about it. And stay in touch.
Oh, I will. And thank you for letting me visit with you.
Absolutely. Bye now.
Bye.
On the Line is a Texarkana Gazette podcast recorded in Star Bear Studio, right here in downtown Texarkana, USA. The show was written, produced, and edited by Carl Richter. News stories are based on Gazette staff reports. Texarkana Gazette podcasts are made possible in part by a grant from the Google News Initiative Journalism Emergency Relief Fund. I'll see you next week on The Line.